It's Bob Williams, and it is Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. This is the Jim Gerhardt Podcast. Jim Gerhardt's here as always. And Jim, we're recording this a little bit early this week.
I think a day early. We're talking, actually, it's a different part of a day too. So interesting process here we're doing. And this will premiere on Facebook on Thursday. So yep. If you're seeing Facebook, we know it's Thursday. When you're seeing it, we know it's not now. So anyway, be with us.
Yep. And we tried to do it as late as we can. We have some scheduling issues, so we couldn't do it actually live. Yep. So I guess, like the Olympics, this is called plausibly live, right? So it's a couple of hours in advance. So the reason we waited until this moment to tape is because of the new news throughout the state regarding the problems in Pennsylvania, regarding the governor in Pennsylvania. Their rulings have been overruled by the feds. As far as all of the restrictions that were put in.
Boy, did we not make it as predictors? I'm not going to wait to have my pundit badge taken away. I'm going to turn it in. We sat here the day before, the Pennsylvania State in Pennsylvania, a U.S. federal court judge ruled that many of the restrictions imposed arbitrarily by the dictatorial whims of the governor. Does that sound familiar? This was in Pennsylvania this time. And as he said, that even in crisis, governor's power is not unfettered. And so he opened up many of these restrictions. Now, since this was a federal court, a federal judge, and he said that it's unconstitutional, we leapt to the conclusion that this meant this is it.
Right.
And this was against
the country. Yeah, right.
Yeah. This was against the background of a story that I'd seen earlier that said that the governor of New Jersey, Governor Murphy, is the most powerful governor in the country right now because New Jersey starts with some extra emergency powers and the like that other states the governors may not have. But they said that and the fact that it's an overwhelmingly blue state. He has both houses of the legislature. He can do anything he wants. So I say to myself, aha, you know, look at this. There goes your dictatorship. But then what happened was, and we thought that that's going to be a huge story. That'll be the story. We put off a day doing this because we were waiting for a response in New Jersey. We're waiting for the governor to come out and do a mea culpa and eat crow.
Right.
But he didn't. He ate Coquille Saint-Jacques. Parisian,
right,
with sauce. Steve Wellington, he ate high on the hog in spite of it.
Our David Matthau just attended the governor's Wednesday press conference, and basically, to paraphrase, governor said while he is very much aware of the ruling in Western Pennsylvania about the rulings of the executive orders being overturned in Pennsylvania. He is not concerned, and he is very confident that the executive orders that were in place here in New Jersey have great efficacy and viability, and they will not be overturned. He says there are already two dozen challenges to the executive orders here in New Jersey, and all of those challenges have been overturned by the courts. So he says he's sticking with it, and he is very confident that they'll be upheld and withstanding any future challenges.
Well, I've got to congratulate him. His statement, as opposed to the governor of Pennsylvania, who went just almost spastic with condemnation of the judge, of the court, and naturally the president. He even got around after saying, basic argument was that since this judge had been appointed by Donald Trump, that his decisions are invalid. Now, that's a new legal principle that the Democrats have come up with. Any law or any ruling by a court, by a judge or a court that was appointed by Donald Trump is invalid. Now,
Jim, and any federal judge, from what I understand and from what I've been hearing from other people, that they would be completely insulted and furious with a statement like that, because these guys and women, they are there to uphold the law. They are not there at the pleasure of whoever appointed them, whether it was a Republican, Democrat, or what have you. those guys are there, and they've studied and they've worked hard to get to that level of being a judge. And
again, you'd have to see the statement in response by the governor of Pennsylvania. And it was just frantic, spastic, as I said. And he's ranting and raving about Donald Trump, and he's kind of racist, naturally, the sexist, the everythingist. He just went overboard about it. But anyway, the upshot of it is they are trying to seek a deferred enforcement, if ever. But essentially, it's these governors who have that power. They are not going to give it up. They won't give it up.
And so nothing has changed in Pennsylvania as far as the restrictions being lifted. They're still in place. The limits on people in public places, restaurants, and what have you. So, to your point, nothing has changed.
But again, what we'd hope would happen is that they would come up and adopt ultimately the Swedish way that they've handled the situation, which seems to have been certainly with the fewest cases, the fewest harm, the least damage to the economy. But now here we are, right back where we started. I think this this business of the governors and their almost dictatorial powers, I wanted to see them reined in, because who knows where it'll stop. We got other things going on now. Judy had written a piece, it was on the website today, about an edict by the governor now that is going to say that anybody, any worker who contracted the COVID virus at work has to get workman's compensation and an extra money because of that. Well, that's money, and it's not paid out of the fund that the state set aside for that kind of thing. This is the employer who pays into that fund. And so this is going to hit the businesses again. And of course, to me, the Super Bowl, the World Series, Stanley Cup, of politics, the Super Bowl of dumbass, really, to me, is this baby bonus business.
Oh, it's crazy.
Later, I'm going to hold on for a little Jeremiah on that. I can't hold out. But anyway, the point is that we misread that one, and I think maybe a lot of people did, because it looked at me as a very hopeful sign. And, of course, we are right back where we started. Speaking of Pennsylvania, did you see that story? Now we're on the verge of having almost total mail-in voting this time. And in Pennsylvania, they have officially, now this is not something that some politician came up with, but this is officially by the Election Commission. There were 40,000 votes in the primary in Pennsylvania that did not get counted.
Wow.
There was a story this morning, I don't have the details, but the story this morning was in New Jersey, in one district in New Jersey, in the June primary, the primary election, there was a great number, not that many votes, but very large number of votes for one district got lost and weren't counted, and they just found them. And so what this is leading to now, the election that is coming up, somebody step on a cat down there.
The cat just walked behind you.
But what? I don't know if you could hear that screech. I think I rocked back on a cat's tail.
Whoops.
All right, Kat, you can rock back on mine someday. what is coming to is, after this election, everything is going to be bogged down, and I don't know how long they can legally keep this going. We may not get a new president inaugurated for months.
Yeah.
And that is because everybody will be claiming the other party cheated. I mean, the loser is going to tie everything up in a claim that... And there no doubt will be enough cases of actual fraud, because it's inevitable, anything this large, that they can keep this held up. Look at the election in, 2000, the old dangling Chad bit in Florida, and how long that got held up. Eventually, they got a Supreme Court decision on that. See, that's another, I think my biggest trepidation about this presidential election campaign is maybe sort of secondary to what you see in the political ads and the political arguing and the like. My problem is not so much as who gets elected because of the personality of the person at the top of the ticket and their party. It's the fact that what will the winner's party and the winner do with the Supreme Court appointments, two of which are going to come up during the reign of the next president.
Right.
And if the Democrats come into power, they will get to appoint them. If the Republicans stay in power, they will get, the president will get to appoint the new member of the Supreme Court with the consent of the Senate. Now, the Senate, of course, is Republican right now. And if it should stay so, that would be, that would tilt the Supreme Court back into a pure constitutional niche, that we're going to do our job and we're going to interpret the Constitution. We're not going to change it. If the Democrats win, get to appoint the two, they get a very liberal majority. And we know that they're going to do everything in their power to monkey with the Constitution and change it. They're not going to come in one day and cancel it. It'll be nibbled and then gobbled and then bigger and bigger bites. And they will suck the life out of the Constitution. As the First Amendment, as we know, is about gone. And they will do nothing to restoring that because they seem to like the turmoil that this has caused. And the Second Amendment, you know that they're going to come down on that with all fours, right. And on we go. So I have great trepidation about that. But I noticed I can't watch the political campaigns. I saw a spot. It looks to me like from what you're seeing, the ads and all, you got the Democratic candidate, Mr. Biden, who was coming on like a B actor who was picked from central casting to play president. A B actor from the 50s or the 40s. You get the Republican candidate who, to me, is coming on like the resuscitated Red Skelton, if you remember him. And he's doing that kind of a bit. But the Biden thing, one thing I got a laugh out of this, on the very day, this would have been a week before last, I believe, the stock market hit a new high. This was big news, the highest jump in one day history. The market is booming. The economy is booming. He comes on and he's damning Donald Trump for destroying the economy. I said, dude, you picked a bad day. And then I saw one where he gets into some kind of bit. He's going to save us from every conceivable peril and threat that there is and give everybody all kind of free stuff. And then at the end of it, he mugs. And whoever made the spot must have been a Republican because he comes on with this thing at the end of the spot and he says, I approve this spot. And he does, you know, something like that. He hopefully there's bursting with gravitas. So, I mean, the whole thing is a farce. Oh, speaking of that, you had mentioned to me about in your polling place.
I am so disappointed and quite angry because here in New Jersey, obviously, the majority, it's going to be all mail-in voting, absentee balloting. But I was under the impression, and I think everybody can agree, that they heard from there that there was going to be one polling place available in each town, at least one polling place. I know the government said that. One polling place would be open in each town.
Yeah.
So they're in person. But now I find out, here in my town, that there's going to be two polling places, but no voting machines. So basically, these polling locations are nothing more than a glorified drop-off point.
You go up to the poll and a door, a slot in the door opens, and somebody holds a derby hat out there.
Yeah,
and you drop.
If you feel more secure dropping that off as opposed to mailing it in, it's just very disappointing. And, you know, this mail-in balloting, Jim, you know, this, you know, you could, anybody, Republican, Democrat, whatever, you're going to be profiled through these ballots. They're going to know more about you than you want them to know, or that they should have the legal right, in my opinion, to know. I mean, you go in, traditionally up until this point, you cast your ballot in a voting machine, a secure an anonymous vote, and it gets tallied, and that's the way it should be.
And this,
I want my name on my stinking ballot. I don't want that.
This could come back to really bite people. I know this is far-fetched and it sounds science fictiony, but it could come back to bite people. And we know that people who do politically incorrect things get bullied, and they can lose jobs, they can suffer. But if suppose you get a rabidly wild left progressive administration in your town or your county or whatever,
right?
They could very easily lose this to harass you, the people who voted for the other candidate other than these people who are ruling your town right now. Right. You could be slow getting services. I'm not accusing anybody of doing it now, but it's within the realm of possibility that you could be something of a second-class citizen in that town because of the way you voted, and they'll know how you voted.
Right. That's the problem. That's a real, real problem from the local level all the way up to the national. Oh, and you know, speaking of races, I just looked this up. And lost in all of the other headlines is that fact that Cory Booker is up for re-election in November.
Well, had to happen sooner or later. It's like the asteroid hitting the Earth.
Maybe I'm not in tune to that, but I have not seen much publicity or news about him running. He's got a pretty good contender. His last name is Maida, and he's he's had some good attack ads and things like that, but there hasn't been much coverage either way on that Senate race, which pretty much means that he's probably just going to squeak back in without much,
Oh, of course he will. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a shoo-in. I don't know why they're bothering him spending money on an election. Yes, speaking of elections, it's something occurred to me, and again, you brought this up. It was a New Jersey senatorial election, a past one, sort of proves what I think is the case. And this was, we're talking about the national election and all. I think elections in this country, if you look back, are won on positive visions. Morning in America, everything is two chickens in every pot in this business. Positive promises rather than negative and attack rhetoric, which is tempting, but it's not really something that the American public buys. Now, I had heard or read that somebody in the Trump campaign is changing his approach from the usual stuff, dumping on, everybody he is not terribly fond of in a vitriolic fashion at times, to concentrating totally on the economy. The economy and what the benefits of this economy that he feels that he's created does. That, to me, is very wise. Forget the other stuff. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. You go back to the last reelection campaign of Senator Menendez. Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey. He is our other senator. I've really forgotten about both of them in the crush of all this. He was running against Tom Kaine Jr., a Republican, one of the top Republicans, for the United States Senate. This would have been, four or five, whatever years ago it was. The Republican campaign, the Kaine campaign, 100% was attacking the character and the behavior of Senator Menendez, the Democratic sitting senator.
Right.
And that was all there was. And these were some, and I won't get into the details, people will remember some of these allegations that were made. I know he was sort of feathering his own nest with some of the fruits of holding an office. But this was the whole campaign, and it turned out that the attacker, Kaine, lost by a good margin. And all Menendez had to do was sit tight, being the Democrat, and promise some goodies.
Right.
If he's reelected. But I think looking back and thinking about that, if you go back almost every campaign we can think of at practically any level, I don't know of a big case where attack ads actually accomplish something, and the nasty, the dirty stuff, when the candidate that it was aimed at was simply sitting back like, Reagan, like smiling and saying, it's a great country, everything's fine, we're going to have a morning in America. And I think Trump's very smart to apply that. That indeed is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was just looking up Tom Kaine Jr. He's running for Congress. He's running for Congress.
He's coming down.
Yeah, but he's he's against Malinowski, 7th district, I think it is. And I could be wrong, but that looks like that's the way it's going with that.
Well, that's not my district. How much I've tried to hide myself from all this stuff. The mail-in ballots, are they coming out of the mail-in, or have they come out? I didn't get one.
I haven't gotten one yet. I think they're going to be mailed over the next couple of weeks. I got to check it out. By the way, if anyone's interested in more voting information, NJ1015.com has got all of the information, and all of your questions will be answered there. And I'm going to spend a little time there myself so I can get a little bit more educated on it. But it's very, very, confusing. But, yeah, the ballots are supposed to be mailed, I guess, within the next couple of weeks, because, heck, they've got to be postmarked by Election Day.
Yeah, I would think.
Now, I'm also thinking of doing the, if I can't vote in person at the machine, I'm really thinking of going with the absentee ballot. I think that's going to be my best bet, and I really got to find out about that, like, toot sweet, so I get enough time on that.
You have to leave town for a while?
Yeah. No, I don't think you have to. I think it's more of a secure ballot, and I got to look into it if it's an anonymous ballot or, you know, you all your information doesn't get out there and they know, you know, who you vote for. And
I'm amazed that you could cast an absentee ballot in your own district when you're living there.
Yeah.
And everybody knows you live there.
But
it's an interesting thing I run across. The 17th Amendment, which I've never read.
Yeah.
But I it's part of this story. There has been a bill introduced either in the Congress or is about to be introduced by a few congressmen members to repeal the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment, as I understand it, and I didn't know this, up until 1913, United States senators were appointed by the local legislature. The 17th Amendment made it a public vote, which is all we've ever known. And so they want to repeal that and go back to the former method that United States senators are appointed by the state legislatures. And part of that is an attempt to just break up this club activity here. This constant gridlock, because everybody's locked into a political position or an economic position, because the Senate apparently is like being given keys to the Treasury. And to elected officials at almost every level, the public treasury, they look upon not as something that's there for the common weal, the common good to run the country, but something to keep them in office and to give them a good living in the meantime, you know, while they're doing it, to perpetuate the job. Thing of political careerism.
Another alternative to appealing the 17th Amendment, how about instituting term limits for national office? They've got it in there. I think I mentioned it a while ago. They have it in there for the president. Why not for the Senate? Why not for the Congress?
I think you'll never get that because the people who, you see, the people who make these laws are the people who profit by the laws that they made in the first place. The Sherry Sylvester law, this great investigative reporter, I think she left New Jersey shaking her head in dismay. But she proclaimed that there is little legislation in New Jersey that does not create a financial opportunity for somebody.
They're going out with more money than they came in with, of course.
So many ridiculous things going on. It's just one after the other. The newest one, I think this was at the University of Michigan, one of the great universities, if not some Midwestern university. They banned the use of the term "no problem," which means like,
oh, I did hear that. Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about that?
Yes.
They have banned it. You get yourself in trouble on the campus. You have to go before some kind of committee and get disciplined if somebody does something or thanks you and you say "no problem." Why? Well, as best I can figure out, and from what they said, which makes no sense, to say "no problem" indicates the possibility that what the person had asked you could have been a problem. Mm. Anyway, go figure.
Yeah.
But this is just one. You know these things going on. God knows where it, as we had mentioned before, the great definition of political correctness. And if you stop and think about this, it's pretty icky, but nevertheless, political correctness is the theory, the doctrine, that you can pick up a piece of, say, doggy do, as long as you pick it up by the clean end.
Mm.
Now, obviously, there's no clean end, but you have to believe that this is true. Now, I just one thing I wanted to do here, because this is kind of current, I have a prop. This is a bottle of what is billed as iced tea. Now, you see these in the supermarket, you know, shelves and shelves. I picked this up from somebody who'd been to an event, a little outdoor event, and this were what they had to drink. Now, you say, what's wrong with America? Now, here's a starting point. I'm going to read the ingredients. First of all, now this says iced tea. It says lemon iced tea. Here's the ingredients and list in order. Number one, water, of course. Next, high fructose corn, fructose corn syrup.
Oh, everything's got that in it. Everything.
Well, but that's one of the worst possible things you can put into a human body. And then it goes to sodium phosphates to protect flavor. And then I'm looking, say, what happened to the tea? Oh, here we go, tea powder. And then we go to potassium sorbate. We go to color, artificial color, caramel color, acesulfame or something, potassium, sucralose, which is more sugar.
Right.
This thing is 49% sugar. And it goes on. Red dye number 40. Well, this will kill you.
All makes it taste better, though. Nobody wants the real.
What's happening is now people are not going to drop dead right now from an overdose of this, but as time goes by, we all know that the country is in epidemics of all manner of diseases and afflictions. And in my view, what I'm getting to, I think it's the diet that is doing it, and it's affecting our brains, our thinking, our capacity for thinking, for critical thought. And so, and we know that from drugs. I saw a story that said, well, this is from the Centers for Disease Control. They estimate 41 million addicts, drug addicts in this country. No, I'm sorry, 21 million drug addicts. Now you pump it up because people are addicted to other things. The technological gadgetry. People become, and it's becoming a serious and recognized disease, is the addiction to the video games, the Facebook, and this business, your device. And so here you total that up, you got about 40 million people who are already having a problem, a big one.
Yeah.
And also the anger is another thing to consider. This virulent response that's coming from a great part of the population to the left against the president, against anything that is to the right of Che Guevara, I guess. And the what is this outbreak? What is causing this? And it's terrible. I mean, people are committing crimes. As you know, the murder rate is up all over the place. Amazing in these cities, the destruction, the rioting and everything that is going on. Something to consider. It's well known that people who have taken steroids for one reason or another, there is called roid rage.
Oh,
you've heard of roid rage.
Heard that. Yeah, I don't know. But
it's just one substance like that that sends people into a frenzy of rage and anger. Now, suppose you've got dozens of them out there. Some of them are not going to be suppressed. They're not going to get rid of high fructose corn syrup because the industry that makes it contributes a pile of money to political campaigns.
Of course.
You go in a market. Now, I came up with Gerhardt's rule for shopping. When you go into your market, stay out of the center, the aisles in the center, you know, this big block of aisles. Don't go in there. Anything that's going to be good for you is on the outside around the walls. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about it. What do you see?
I remember that one. Yeah, you told me that a while ago. Yeah, I remember that. I
issue a plenary indulgence for people who go down the baking aisle to get oatmeal.
Yeah.
But stay out of the other stuff.
Hey, at my shop, right down the same aisle from the baking stuff is all the Halloween candy. Which I just wanted to bring to your attention that what's going to happen with Halloween this year. Apparently, a couple of states, I think California, has said no trick-or-treating. But here in New Jersey, it's still on. Governor says we're still going to do it. But as of now, that could change. Lambertville, for one town, is recommending no door-to-door trick-or-treating. So that's going to be very interesting on how that's going to play out. So my suggestion, before you buy that candy, let's just wait a couple of more weeks before you get that, you know, 5-pound bag of chocolates.
I don't think I would fight that right now. I would certainly not argue or fight very strenuously against such a ruling. Oh, I got to do one thing if I can do it quickly.
Sure.
We all know all the negatives of the COVID epidemic, what it's caused to us individually as people, the economy, the illness and everything. I came across today a positive, and I got to throw this out. I went this morning to get routine blood work done as part of a yearly physical. Now, I've hated to do that because of the sitting around, the waiting in line, the whole business, the bureaucracy involved in it. I always found it kind of unpleasant. Not once I got in when they got down with the phlebotomist taking the blood, I was fine. But up to that point, but this was beautiful. And it's because of the virus. I went to a lab corp, could have been, you know, I'm not trying to do a commercial for them. I had made an appointment online. I got a barcode kind of a thing on the email confirmation. I went in and I was in and out in no time flat. I stood there kind of dizzy because I never had that happen before. But I go in, they had two people sitting there. They'd spaced this out with appointments. Everybody had masks on. The chairs were blocked off so you could not sit closer than 6 feet to anybody. Walk in, scan my thing. They hand me the jar to go piddle in. Go fill it, come back, sit down for 30 seconds. They call my name. I go in and get it done and out of there. And I think, what a difference. This is almost like going through the motor vehicle agency and coming out with a smile on your face.
Well,
it doesn't happen. Yeah. But anyway, I just want to say a kind of an upturn. Listen, enjoyed it. I think we're about at the time for the crook to come out and the gong to go off. So yep.
Thanks to Dan Alexander, David Matthau for helping us do some prep this week, and Lou Hockman, our director. And obviously, we're here every week here on Facebook Live, and you can get our podcast anytime you want on any of the platforms and at NJ1015.com.
Okay, everybody. God bless you. This too will pass.
Yo. Ha ha ha.